Everybody have a great Christmas?
Yes.
Great, great. It was a special time. It's always a wonderful time to be together with family. It can be challenging too, but I am blessed by you guys. You are here. You know, I'm blessed by those that are online watching too. Thank you for joining us. But as I mentioned, I'd like to just go and spend some time in 1 John. It's been a while that we've been in 1 John. And it's echoing a little bit, guys, just a little bit. If you could adjust a little bit there, please. Thank you. Appreciate that. Nothing fancy. I started studying, and I just had the time going through these 5 chapters of 1 John. So you ready to do a lot of scripture? Because we're going to go through it. But keep in mind, it's a journey addressing the love that John points out to us that is between us and God and us and each other. And basically, that is what he is instructing us. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Apply it to our hearts. Change us because of your word. We thank you for the truth that is found in here. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword, rightly dividing between the very motives and intents of our hearts, and we love you for that, Lord. It brings maturity, it brings change, it brings challenge. So as we just simply go through the word simply, may you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Verse 1 of chapter 1, there. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand and they will bring one to you in case you don't have one. Or if you have a phone, you can turn to the phone there. That which was, notice what John says, that which was from the beginning. These are his credentials. Everything that follows after verse 1 is because of verse 1. Because he comes and says, this is the reason why I can say the things that I am going to say. That which was from the beginning. So he points us to none other than God. That we, notice number 1, have heard. He heard the voice of God, which we have seen with our eyes. With his physical eyes, he beheld that which was from the beginning, God, which we have looked upon. That word looked upon means to study, not just to see, not to observe casually, but to study. He studied him around the campfire. He studied him when he was walking on water. He studied him when he cast out the demons. He studied him when he healed people, the words that he spoke and all that he did. He studied him when he resisted the challenges of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all that. So he studied him, is what he says. We have looked upon and our hands have handled. In other words, he physically touched, as it says there, he who is from the beginning concerning. And what is his name? The word of life. And so that's what John is able to bring to us. And then from there, we make a decision. Do we want to listen to his words? Do we trust his words? Because he has seen God, he's listened to God, he's touched God, he's studied God. And so here we are. Now he adds us, okay, now I want to reveal to you what I've seen, what I have heard, what I have observed, what I have, listened to in that way. The life, pointing to Jesus, verse 2, was manifested, it was revealed, and we've seen, and we bear witness, and declare to you, that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Now, is that not mind-shattering or just, amazing, mind-blowing in that way? Look at that verse again. The life, Jesus, was manifested. He was revealed. And we have seen, so he reiterates what he said in verse 1 there, and bear witness. Now, we bear witness of this. We're not lying to you, is what he's saying. And we declare to you, what do we declare to you? Eternal life. When he studied, when he observed, when he saw, when he listened to, what he heard was the words of life. I would declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father. He was in heaven, but he was manifested to us. He's pointing to the incarnation of Christ. It's an amazing thing what he does. That which we have seen and heard. So he reiterates again, we have seen, we have heard, we now declare to you. And what does he declare? That you also may have fellowship with us. You can have fellowship. We can have fellowship. You and I have fellowship today. We can have fellowship with each other, he's saying. We declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship, he's saying, truly, 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 our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Is that not amazing? We could just stop there. That which we believe, that which we trust in, that's what we study, that's what we base our lives upon, because you base your life upon it. Today, you have Christmas hangover, okay? But you're here, and that's great. a good hangover. I pray that everybody had a great time with their family. It's a great time of the year. But we are blessed people, are we not? We are blessed people, are we not? We are. We really are. And so John is just telling us that. We have so much to be excited about. Now, does that mean that we'll be without trials? No, no way. Trials can be deep. They can be tragic. I was talking to someone earlier before the service, and tragedy had hit his life, and my heart went out listening to that. And it is. I mean, we're not guaranteed this perfect existence, this, you know, this time without trial. So that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, these things we write to you. Why? That your joy may be what? Full. Not half full, not quarter full, not three quarters full, not five-eighths full, but full. That our joy would be full. Now, it doesn't mean that we'll always be happy. Happy is an emotion. Joy is a reality. It says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And where is that verse located? Come on. Nehemiah, way to go. The first serf they didn't know. I was just, I picked on him. I really did. Why don't you know? You've been around for a while. Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Strength. Joy is that which we have in the midst of trials. Joy cannot be changed according to circumstances. Our emotions can, our feelings can, and all that. And that's real. It's real. I have sad days, and I have days I go, oh, golly, I'm just a mess, Lord. Help me at that. But there's something inside about that joy. That joy. We're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, as John is pointing out here. We may have be full of joy. This, verse 5, is the message which we have heard from Him. This message that John is saying, he's saying to us very simply, this came from God. It didn't come from me. It didn't come from Peter. It didn't come from anybody else. It came from Him. This is the message which we have heard from Him, and we declare it to you. We shout it from the rooftops that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Praise the Lord. There's not one bit of darkness. If we feel there's darkness in God, we have a misconception of who God is. If we feel that He doesn't love us, we're missing out on the truth, because we'll get the 1 John here where it says God is love. That teaches me that God does not do anything other than His love. That's who we worship today. That's who we follow. Now, circumstances in this world, I can get myself in trouble and all that, but yet God is still there, and everything He does in our life is because of love, because He wants to change us in some way maybe. But it's challenging. Is it not challenging to be a Christian? I mean, it really is. It's the most challenging thing I've ever done in my life, to be a Christian, because the world is enticing, you know? And so he says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. It doesn't mean that we lose our salvation, but it means the truth. If we don't walk the way that we are empowered to walk, if we walk in darkness, then there's a consequence to that, even as Christians today. There just is a consequence. We can't blame it on God. You can't get depressed about it or anything, hopefully. We work through all these things, and it's just the way it is. If we walk in darkness, we're going to have consequence to that. That's all that it is. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if, look, verse 7, we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from just a few sins. What's it say? You know how I feel about all, right? It's circled in my Bible. All means what? All. What does all mean? It means all. It means all of it. All of it. Look at that. God cleanses us from all sin. And I go, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because of that, we will be in heaven. Amen? If we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that's the promise of Scripture. It's the promise. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not, but have. Is that the Word of God? Is it a promise? It is a promise, right? It's a promise. Whether we choose to believe it and embrace it or not, it's the Word of God. It will not change. God's Word is set in place. It's there. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There was a guy named Bob something or whatever it was, you know, not picking on Bobs. You ever notice that Bob is Bob forward and backward? Never mind, anyway. But there was a guy out there in the Midwest, okay? And he had this sinless perfection. He wrote a book and I thought, you know, you're so far off, it's wrong. It really is, you know. He just had that, and people listened to that. They bought his tapes and all. No. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. It doesn't mean we're not saved, but it means that we're going the wrong way. If we are Christians, you know, we can go down the wrong path too. But if we're not saved, we need to pay attention. Because notice verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? From what? There is that word all again. Does all mean all? It means all. We have to meditate on that. We have to think about that. We have to base our life upon these alls in Scripture. All. Again, if we confess our sins, all we have to do is confess, repent of our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us at that moment. He does. He does that because he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he does in our life. Sometimes it doesn't feel that. Sometimes it takes some time to do that. But the promise is there. Sometimes we feel unworthy. Amen? We feel unworthy. I'm just a dirtbag, Lord. Well, yes, we are in our flesh. But who are we? We're created new creatures in Christ Jesus. We will be with him forever and ever and ever. And that's who we are. You guys with me? Yes. That's who we are. We can't buy into the lights. We're the lies that are there. And then if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But look at verses 1 and 2, chapter 2. My little children, that's you and I, these things I write to you. So he's coming back to that theme again. I write these things to you so that you may not sin. That's the purpose, that you may not sin. It doesn't say you will not sin. It says that you may not sin. But, and if anyone sins, we have a what? Advocate with the Father. And who is that? And he is the righteous. Now that is mind-blowing. These truths that we see in Scripture, we can so easily just go over them and not pause and meditate and allow them to become who we are. And he himself is the propitiation. He is the ransom. He is the mercy seat for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for who? The whole world. Whether it be Muslim, whether it be Buddhist, whether it be whatever throughout the whole world, he died on that cross for every single person. It wasn't just for the elect. It wasn't just for the elite. Though when you give your life to the Lord, you definitely enter into the truth of election, and that's a beautiful thing. It is. But it doesn't mean, it doesn't take away the fact that he died for every single human being. Do you guys believe that? Universal work on the cross. So that's a promise. Verse 3, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. As we keep his commandments, we know that we know him. I remember the day after I got saved, I no longer had a desire to cuss. I no longer had a desire to drink. Totally disappeared. Totally disappeared. That was freaky. It really was. It changed. I mean, I was out of the Navy. I was trained by the Navy for 4 years to cuss and to drink, you know. I was trained, and after I got out of the Navy, I was trained, my best friend and I, we were trained in the Navy together, you know, and it wasn't a pretty picture and all that. But then when I got saved, that next morning I woke up, and it was gone. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. I wish everything was gone, and I was perfected. But there's a process. There's a process. You know, it takes time. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself, notice, he himself is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours, but the own world. By this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected or completed in him. By this we know that we are in him. We know this is true. And so when it says, whoever keeps this word, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we see. Unconditional love is seen here. The highest form of love, the selfish love that we see in 1 Corinthians 13, we see in Philippians chapter 2, is being expressed this. By this we know that we are in him. And he, obviously, is in us. We'll see that as we continue. Verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So because of all that he's done for us, we are to walk in him. Go to verse 15 of chapter 2, please. There's another side of things here that we have to pay attention to. Do not love. There's that word again, agape, that we saw introduced first of all right there in verse 5 of this chapter. Do not love the world or the things in the world. We shouldn't do that. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's true for the unsaved, and it's true for the saved too, because we're walking in darkness, not in light. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, we don't want to go there, do we? The lust of the eyes, we don't want to go there, do we? Okay? And the pride of life, we don't want to go there, do we? We don't. Is not of the Father, but is of the world. But can we go to the lust of the flesh? Can we go to the lust of the eyes? Can we go to the pride of life? We can. We can make a decision. But as soon as we find that we've made that decision, we go real quickly to the throne of God. We don't abuse his grace, but we do walk in it. It's very important. For all that is in the world, we see there. But look at verse 17. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God does what? Forever. Now, what does forever mean? Forever. You ever saw it and just thought about that? Okay, now, Lord, I just want to spend a little time with you. Can I meditate over that? He who does the will of God abides forever. What's that going to be like, Lord? Forever. You mean, Lord, really forever? Because we think in our minds beginning and end, right? We do that. But when we enter into this realm with the Lord, I mean, it's forever. Actually, we're living forever right now. We're living a life. That is amazing. Amen, guys? Isn't that not amazing? I mean, the truths that we find in these scriptures here, just amazing. The Word of God, we have that. So let's go then to chapter 3, verse 1. The journey of love. We're just touching base on some scriptures in this way. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Behold, in other words, consider what manner, what sort of love, agape, the Father has bestowed on us. He has bestowed this upon us. He has granted this into our lives. The Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Wow. Okay, look at the person next to you. Child of God. Scary, isn't it? Child of God. Child of God. That person next to you knows Jesus is their Lord and Savior, a child of God. But what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, because we are children of God, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world doesn't like us. People in the world may put up with us. And there's people, obviously, in the world that would love us. But ultimately, the world system and all that that's there. I mean, it's right there. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. That we see. Beloved, now, verse 2, we are children of God and it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. We don't know what it's going to be like. But we know that when he is revealed, when that day comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Think about that. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see. We celebrated them. We came together for Christmas Eve and all. And we're going to see him. We're going to behold him. And I don't think I'm going to be afraid. I think I'm just going to be blown away of his love, his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. We are the children of God, and yet not have revealed what we shall be. But we know, we experience, we understand. Gnosko, we know. When he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Ah, Lord, I'm going to stand before you. What does that drive me today? I know I'm going to stand before you, Lord. So I'm going to walk that walk that you want me to walk. I want to be pleasing. But I don't want to do it in my own effort, because if I try it in my own effort, it's going to fail. But if I walk in the Spirit, then I shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I get that one, Lord. I can do that. I can learn to walk in you. And then you'll teach me how to not walk in the world. God is good. Everything's provided. Look at verse 10 of this chapter, please. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. There's a contrast. There's a battle that goes on. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. That's the word of God. He said that. That's true. Nor is he who does not love his brethren. So now he says all these blessings we have up to this point are given to us. But he says, okay, now guys, put it to work. We're to love those that are in our lives, no matter what. We're to love our enemies. Verse 11, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning. He goes back and he says, listen, here it is again. He's going back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. For this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should do that. You guys love the people that are around you? Can they be cantankerous? Huh? So can we all, yes. Took it right out of my mouth. Okay. Yeah, we all. But we are to love. How do we love that? We walk in the Spirit. We learn how to do that. Should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. So don't be confused about that, that the world hates us. But verse 14, and we know that we have passed from death to life. Why? How do we know that? How do we know that we're saved? Because we love the brethren. There's something about we love the brethren. We do. He who does not love his brethren abides in death, separation. He who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. So ultimately, if a person is given over to that lifestyle, doesn't mean sometimes we can be angry with people, and I'm not giving us permission to do that, but sometimes we just come up short. Sometimes the flesh comes out. It's not pretty. It's not a good thing. Doesn't mean we lose our salvation. If we are saved, we got to run as fast as we can back to the cross. Obviously, the person who doesn't know the Lord should run back too. Verse 16, by this we know love. Because how do we know love? Verse 16, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So John is saying, okay, because we are loved, okay, there is a privilege, there is a responsibility to love. Verse 17, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother is in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. We have to be aware of what's going on in the world. Amen? A lot of needs. Crazy. I want to encourage us to pray. I'm going to invite you guys to come on Christmas or New Year's Eve at 6 o'clock to pray. Then we'll leave plenty of time for New Year's Eve parties or whatever you're going to. But to pray. We'll pray for an hour or so. We'll just pray. Shouldn't we start out the year by praying? So Christmas Eve night, that's next Saturday night, right, at 6 o'clock. If you guys want to, I'm inviting you to come out and let's just pray and start the year by praying. That's a good way to do that. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, verse 21, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. How do we do that? We walk in the Spirit. But look at verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he has given us commandment. Go down to chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Gnosko, again, to know, to understand, to become aware of, there, knows God. Verse 8, he who does not love does not know God. At that moment, if we're not loving, we're not walking there in the Spirit of God. For God is, what's it say?
Love.
Love. So God is love. Think of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Think of Philippians chapter 2, where he came out of heaven. He loved us so much, he set aside who he was and all that he had. In his love, he came, set it aside. Verse 9, in this, the love of God was manifested or revealed to us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, what? By how? Through him. It's always by him. We can uncomplicate it because it's all by him, walking and being in love with him, through him. In this, verse 10, is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us. And what did he do because he loved us? Send his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you realize, and I know that you do, that there's only one, quote, religion, one reality where God came and died? There's only one. God came and died for us that we can live forever and ever. And that's what John is saying as we see this. For in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the mercy seat for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, what do? We also ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected or completed in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. There it is. There's a secret where you have his Spirit living inside of us. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. So verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. How many here confess that Jesus Christ is God? Okay, well, look at the promise again. Look at it. Here's the word of God. We abide in him and he in us because he has given his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is what? And he who abides in love does what? Abides in God and God in him. Wow. Think about that for a moment. I know we're going through this, but think about that. That's the reality that we live today. We get caught up in the world. I do. Living in the world and walking in things that are going on and all that. But it's good to slow down. That's what I wanted to do today as we start out a new year. Just to slow down and remember all these promises, this reality. How do we know it's true? Because John saw him. John listened to him. John studied him. John walked with him. All of that. We know that it's true. John's just pouring out his heart and saying, this is true. Love, verse 17, has been perfected, completed among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, what? So are we in this world. I found another translation for this verse. Love contains no fear. Indeed, fully developed love expels every particle of fear. I thought I'd never seen that before. Every particle. I'll read it again. Love contains no fear. Indeed, fully developed love expels every particle of fear. When we walk in the Spirit, we walk in his love. Is it challenging? You bet. But has he given us his Spirit? Has he given us his Son? Yes, the Father has done all of that so we can walk and live. There is no fear, verse 18, in love. There's none. No means none. But perfect love casts out, expels, drives out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect or complete in love. Will we be afraid? Yes, at times. Difficult times are coming our ways. Things are changing. They want us, bring us into fear. They want to control us. They'll do whatever they can with whatever they can devise. They will. Am I lying? They'll do anything they can. Are we to be afraid? No. We're to share the gospel. We're to pray for our president. We're to pray for the cabinet. We're to pray for those in Congress. We're to pray for the governors of America. We're to pray for the mayors in America. We're to pray for all those in power because it tells us to do that and pray for salvation to come into their life because they should experience what we have experienced if they do not know God. There are those that do. Praise the Lord. Pray for them too. There's many that are standing and standing strong to know Jesus Christ. We want more of them. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has been made perfect in love. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And look at verse 20 and 21. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. And he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can we love God whom he has not seen? That means even the enemy that's out there, we are to love. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother. And then let's close with verses 1 through 5 in chapter 5. Whoever believes, I mean, whoever believes, trusts in, relies upon, adheres to the reality that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot, that's him being God who begot, also loves him who is begotten of him. If we love God, we love people that have been born of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Grievous or burdensome. Yeah, are they challenging? They are challenging, but they're not grievous. They're not intended to be that. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's you and I. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What's the next two words? Our faith. He who overcomes the world, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who does what? Believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? So there's more in there. Just take a time this week if you'd like to study all that's in 1 John. It's an amazing book. Amen? Let's stand together and let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the simplicity of your word, but yet the depth of your word. I thank you for these men and women that have come after Christmas Day and they've come and wanted to worship and serve and to be part of all that you're doing. Bless them abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for 2021. And we look forward to 2022. That, Lord, that you would just fill us with your spirit. You would enable us to walk by the spirit. May your word come alive to us. May we be men and women of prayer. Keep us safe as we continue on, but I know there's going to be challenges, but there's going to be great blessings. So we thank you for it. We praise you and worship you. Guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, Amen. Amen.